Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by live blog director Jamie Jors. And we're getting ready for a Green Bay Packers playoff appearance. To talk about the playoffs, to talk about the Packers, to kick off the show, we have joining us right away this morning, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. How about you?
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us, as you do most every Wednesday during the season. We have to start off by talking about quarterback Matt Flynn. He had the record-breaking performance, single-game marks in terms of yards and touchdown, threw for 480 yards, six touchdowns. Where does his performance rank among the single-game performances Pro Football Focus has analyzed?
He had one of the better games that we've seen, but don't get ahead of ourselves. He still isn't as good as Aaron Rodgers. All the numbers are as good as you thought they were. One of them that stood out in particular to me was his accuracy percentage, which is completion percentage, which accounts for drops, spikes, and passes thrown away. And there he had a mark of 83.8%, which is slightly better than Rodgers has had over the course of the season, but still not as good as what Aaron Rodgers had during the Thanksgiving game against the Lions. The one biggest problem that I had with Flynn's performance is he did have the one interception, as well as a pass within the last 2 minutes of the game where it was almost intercepted. So besides those two plays, he did play very well, but is part of the reason his numbers were so high is because the defense didn't play well yet again. But still, it was a very good performance out of him.
It appeared Flynn was aided by a pretty solid performance from his receivers. How did the guys do that caught the ball from Matt Flynn?
Absolutely. They played very well. First off, Michael Finley, who has been struggling recently, had one of the best games he's had recently with seven catches for 64 yards, although he did have one drop pass. Another one of the targets that stepped up was James Jones, who caught six of the seven balls thrown his way for 89 yards. And to my memory, this was the first time that I had seen two back-to-back good games out of James Jones. So that's a step in the right direction for him going forward. Then Jordy Nelson, like every week, I feel like I'm saying on here, had in another amazing game. And over the course of this season, he's had 3.05 yards per pass run, which is exactly what it sounds like, and that's the second highest mark in the league just to Victor Cruz. However, on the other hand, Donald Driver saw a big significant increase in snaps up to 71% thanks to the two wide receivers being inactive, but he was only targeted four times, which led to just two catches and one drop pass.
Elsewhere on the offensive side of the football, the Packers decide to go with Chad Clifton at left tackle ahead of Marshall Newhouse for the playoffs. How do you view this decision? Are the Packers making the right choice?
I think the Packers are making the right choice. Newhouse at season end ranked as Pro Football Focus' lowest rated tackle. He was third lowest in run blocking and third lowest in pass blocking. So even though I'm not sure if Chad Clifton is the right answer, right now it looks like pretty much anything would be better than Newhouse. In this past game, Clifton, in 19 plays, allowed a sack, two hits, and a pressure, which isn't very good compared to Newhouse's allowing just one hit and three pressures in his 50 pass plays. But like I said a couple weeks ago when I was on here, the biggest difference is in run blocking, where Clifton had one positive play and one negative play, where Newhouse had no positive plays and five negative. So overall, I think it's a step in the right direction, but I would still see Clifton struggling against some of the good pass rushes in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you got to take into consideration, too, that he's probably just a little bit rusty after half a season spent on the sidelines, and maybe he can get a little bit of that good play back during the playoff run. On the other side of the football, this past week, the Packers defense once again had a poor performance, particularly against Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson. What happened that game, and how does that bode for the Packers in the playoffs?
Well, looking at the numbers, there were 13 times where Calvin Johnson was thrown to where Tremont Williams was in coverage. And on 8 of those plays, he had a completion for 178 yards. But on the other hand, with the passes that weren't complete, 2 of those balls Tremont Williams had defensed, and the other 3 he had some part in the play not ending up in a completion. So overall, Johnson won the battle. But Calvin Johnson ranks out as our top wide receiver in the league, so pretty much any cornerback who goes up against him has struggled against him. So even though in this game Johnson won the battle, going forward, I don't think it is too huge of an issue unless the Lions happen to face the Packers again, because I don't think there is any other wide receiver in the NFL that Tremont Williams would have to face that's as good as Megatron.
That's for sure. The Packers rotated a bunch of outside linebackers in the Lions game. Did any of them stand out?
Not really, no. A few of them had a pressure here and there, but none of them really got to the quarterback that often to warrant me thinking they deserve more of a full-time job. Brad Jones had 1 sack and 1 pressure. Vic Soto had 1 sack, and Eric Walden had 2 pressures. But that all isn't very much considering all of them rushed the passer at least 20 times. But hopefully with Clay Matthews back in the playoffs, we'll see more pressure at least from one side of the field, even though the other side will continue to not have much in comparison.
The Packers now enter the playoffs, and we don't know the Packers' opponent in the divisional round yet, but we do know it'll be one of 3 teams, the Lions, the Giants, or the Falcons. Can you give us a brief breakdown on the Packers' potential opponents?
Sure. One nice thing is that the Packers have already faced all 3 teams, so we have a general idea of how each of those games would go. If they were to rematch the Lions, I would expect the game to go fairly similar to how the game just went, except a little more pressure out of Clay Matthews, and then a little better blocking because Brian Bulaga would be back at right tackle, which would move Sitton back to left guard. Against the Falcons, I would expect that game to be similar to the last few games, simply because the Falcons don't have the depth at secondary behind cornerback Brent Grimes, who is really good. But their slot cornerbacks have struggled all year long, and that's been the biggest weak point in the last 2 matchups against the Packers. So I would expect that to be true again. I think the biggest thing with the Falcons that they would have to worry about is if Michael Turner is having a really good game and the Falcons use him to control the clock. And then I think the Giants would be the Packers' most difficult opponent simply because of Jason Pierre-Paul and his pass rushing ability. He has been on fire recently, and I think against Chad Clifton, Pierre-Paul would have a lot of success again. And then also on the Giants' offensive side of the ball, Victor Cruz has been having a lot of big plays recently, so he would probably be capable of doing that again, since the Giants also have other good receiving options in Hakeem Nicks and Mario Manningham.
Nathan, can you give those who might be just joining us for the first time or listening to our podcasted version of this episode, can you give them a little idea of what you do at ProFootballFocus.com?
Sure. At Pro Football Focus, we analyze every player on every play in every NFL game. We have someone who is marking down every player on every play, what they did on the play, and where they started on the field, as well as someone who keeps track of other statistics that aren't as readily kept track of in the NFL, as well as grading every player on an intense grading scale that we have. So we have statistics on every player, as well as ratings on every player that you simply can't find anywhere else.
We appreciate the analysis you give, Nathan, and check it out, ProFootballFocus.com. It's a great site. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again as long as the Packers keep winning in the playoffs.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Nathan. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday here at Railbird Central, and we'll continue to talk to him as long as the Packers keep winning. Keep this run going. That's what everybody wants, right? Thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning here on Railbird Central. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, those comments will show up on our live blog. And we're talking about several topics today in the world of the Green Bay Packers. I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at the top of the live blog. If you want to scroll up and follow along, that would be great. And there's a lot going on in the world of the Packers that's kind of actually outside the organization. Our top story today is former Packers head coach Mike Sherman perhaps getting back into the NFL. He's going to be interviewing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, this is coming off just weeks after Sherman had been fired as head coach of a college team, Texas A&M. The college atmosphere doesn't think Mike Sherman can be a head coach, but apparently the pros can. Kind of odd, a little bit. But yes, Mike Sherman perhaps going to be facing the Packers sometime in the future. I think I saw some odds from Bovada.lv, used to be Bodog.com. I think they've now changed their name. And Mike Sherman is the odds-on favorite to be the next head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hot place for former Packers coaches. Of course, John Gruden was the head coach there, former Packers assistant during Mike Holmgren's Super Bowl years in Green Bay. But yeah, so Mike Sherman going to be interviewing for the job in Tampa Bay and a likely candidate. Our second story down into this morning's Packers Daily Link, shake up in the NFC North. So other moves that may impact what happens to the Packers. The Chicago Bears have fired general manager Jerry Angelo and offensive coordinator Mike Martz has resigned. Apparently they've given a vote of confidence to Lovie Smith as head coach and he will be back. But then also in Minnesota, Rick Spielman was promoted to general manager. So lots of things that'll impact the division outside of Green Bay. So interesting to see all the shuffling that went on in the NFC North yesterday. I thought it was particularly interesting that in Chicago that Jerry Angelo was fired. There was, you know, just a year ago, some very interesting things related to the draft and the Packers and the Bears and how the Bears apparently wanted to draft a James Starks but didn't end up doing it. And then also they wanted to draft Morgan Burnett, but the Packers traded ahead of the Bears. They've had to settle for Major Wright at safety. And, it's turned out for the Packers better in both ways than it has for the Bears. And perhaps maybe a contributing reason why Jerry Angelo was fired. So I heard some Packers fans say that, saw it on Twitter, coming across my timeline, that they're disappointed Jerry Angelo was fired because of he actually wasn't doing quite a good job as Ted Thompson here in Green Bay and surrounding area. So, not included in this morning's Packers Daily Links, but I saw it too late to include it in time for today's edition, but offensive coordinator Joe Philbin is apparently interviewing for the Kansas City Chiefs head coaching job. Of course, the Chiefs fired their head coach, Todd Haley, a couple weeks ago. This, is, of course, was before the Packers faced them in Week 15. The Packers' only loss of the season. That was their first game without Haley. And Romeo Crennel steps in as the interim head coach. It's thought that Romeo Crennel is going to be the leading candidate to take over the head coaching job as well. And he's done a pretty good job here with what's left the remainder of the regular season. although they didn't make the playoffs, but doing a good job there in KC. Kevin on our live blog says Romeo deserves a chance in KC. He did a nice job. I have to agree with that. And Joe Philbin apparently getting an interview at least, and I suppose it probably worked out for the Packers that they have a bye this week. It's actually an opportunity for these coaches to interview for a job, whereas last year the Packers were too busy all the time preparing for the Super Bowl for any of the coaches to interview anywhere, let alone get a job. And I was reading ProFootballTalk.com, and so many sites with Pro Football. We got Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Talk. We got Pro Football Weekly, all sites I like check out on occasion. But ProFootballTalk.com, writing that, you know, it's almost a burden for teams to be in the Super Bowl because they can't, you know, interview for jobs. Or, you know, it's not so much that they can interview, but teams don't want to wait that long. They don't want to wait until after the Super Bowl to name the head coach. They want guys to step in right away and get things going. They want them to start working, you know, start analyzing the roster they have, start analyzing the teams they're going to play for next year, getting a jump on personnel and recruitment, taking a look at what might be in stock for the NFL draft. So, a comment on the live blog here from EC Wiscott, wondering if we'll hear anything about Tom Clements and the PSU job this week. And I also heard that Tom Clements is going to be having a second interview with Penn State this week. Apparently, I forget where I saw this, and if anybody has the link, feel free to throw it out on the live blog here, that Tom Clements did have one interview via Skype, of all things, for the Penn State job, and now is going to have a second interview, I'm assuming, in person. And so it's possible Tom Clements leaving the Packers as well. And of course, last year, as you might remember, lots of candidates from the Packers being talked about for jobs elsewhere in the NFL. You know, I think Darren Perry interviewed for a job, or at least he was talked about a job. Was it in Arizona? And then inside linebackers coach Winston Moss being talked about as a candidate for the head coaching job in Oakland. You know, there's interest in these Packers assistant coaches that will probably only continue as long as the Packers do well. Last year, the Packers really didn't have to replace a whole lot. Wide receivers coach Jimmy Robinson left to become associate head coach in Dallas. But, that's all they had to replace. Packers made a couple small changes this year. Moved Edgar Bennett to wide receivers coach to take over for the departed Robinson. And then moved their assistant offensive line coach to running backs coach to take over there. And things have seemed to work out for the Packers. Jamie Jors on our live blog commenting, Clements and PSU breaks my heart. I wish the best for him. Can't see PSU being successful for a while. That is the truth. It's going to be tough for whoever steps in to Penn State, and to be successful there. You know, they might get slapped with some sanctions, and even if they don't, it's going to be tough to recruit there. Recruits are not going to want to go to Penn State, so they're not going to be pulling in as good of players as they have in the past. And this actually all works out to an extent. Just on a tangent here, for the University of Wisconsin, we got a lot of Badgers fans listening to this show, I'm assuming, seeing as we're based in Wisconsin, and the Packers are based in Wisconsin. And, next year, Penn State, probably not going to be very good because of the whole situation that went on. And Ohio State is now on a one-year bowl ban or postseason ban. They cannot play in the Big Ten championship game this year, a whole lot like USC couldn't play in the Pac-12 championship game this year. And, you know, that both those teams, you know, two traditional powerhouses, Ohio State and Penn State, you know, probably looking at a down year at least in 2012. For Ohio State, you figure it'll be a brief downturn there. And they could even be good in 2012. They just can't play in the postseason. Penn State might be a little longer. But, I mean, that makes the road to the Big Ten championship game fairly easy for Wisconsin. You know, even a team that's losing some good players like Russell Wilson, Nick Toon, Kevin Zeitler. You know, all these good players that the Badgers may lose, yet still could be in the Big Ten championship game next year. You know, without a difficult road in front of them, or at least some roadblocks being cleared along the way. So interesting that all these things seeming to fall into place, and Tom Clemens perhaps being a part of it and coaching in at Penn State and being part of the Big Ten. Good luck to him. And you know, this whole thing ties into, of course, Matt Flynn has been the talk of the town after his performance against the Detroit Lions, the record-breaking performance. And the job Todd Clements has done kind of plays into the whole thing here. And that probably makes, you know, it probably makes Tom Clements a little bit more of an attractive option for Penn State. All of a sudden, here comes his backup into this week 17 game against the Lions, and he has one of the greatest games in Packers history. And now, Tom Clements is smelling like a rose. He's part of this so-called system, which I am very dubious about, that Matt Flynn and Aaron Rodgers are system quarterbacks. I mean, no doubt, Tom Clements and Mike McCarthy have put together, and Joe Philbin for that matter, have put together a good system in Green Bay. But, you know, I just think Aaron Rodgers and Matt Flynn are good quarterbacks. And it certainly helps that Matt Flynn has been learning this system for 4 years. He's not some rookie coming off the bench. He's been practicing and has gotten playing time in you know, regular season games in the past and plenty of preseason action. So, you know, Rupert points out on the live blog, how come Brian Brohm couldn't pick up the system then? Exactly. These guys are not, this is not Texas Tech. this is the NFL. A whole world of difference. And Phil Dawson checking in on our live blog, mentioning Paul Christ in terms of the whole, college coaching carousel that's going on. Paul Christ being the former Wisconsin Badgers offensive coordinator, now moving on to become the head coach at Pittsburgh, where he's going to have a tough job ahead of him. Not going to be easy being at Pitt. It never is. It's a pretty good coaching gig, but not a great coaching gig. Have a tough time getting in elite talent there. And I perhaps it'll help that they're moving from the Big East to the ACC. That's one thing Pitt's got going for them in the future. The Big East looks almost on the brink of dissolution. they might have been saved by Boise State and San Diego State, ironically, coming into that league. I have a hard time understanding why those schools even made that jump. Boise State, San Diego State, moving into the Big East. It seems like they would have been better served staying in the Mountain West and being part of that new conference. They're like joining forces with Conference USA for a mega conference. Football only. But apparently the winners of those conferences will meet in a championship game. Seemed to me that was a pretty good spot for those schools, and they're moving to a big East conference that has no identity and no clue if they're, a basketball conference or a football conference, but they're trying to stay relevant. Whatever. Rupert comments on our live blog, I honestly would have thought Chris could have landed a much better gig than Pitt. A lot of people thinking that Crist better than Brett Bielema at Wisconsin, and Brett Bielema being the receiving a lot of criticism after the Rose Bowl performance, questionable calls, game management in terms of, you know, wasting some timeouts early in the second half, not having any at the end when the Packers, or pardon me, the Badgers, could have used them. As, of course, anybody who saw the Rose Bowl knows that time ran out as the Badgers tried to spike the ball at the end. And how fitting and how interesting how the Badger basketball team loses last evening on a three-point shot at the buzzer that apparently did not get off in time and would have forced a double overtime for the Badgers, but did not count. Badgers lose to Michigan State yesterday in basketball. Just some crazy, crazy stuff going on in the world of Wisconsin sports lately, and disappointing too for the Badger football and basketball teams. But hopefully the Packers can pick up the slack where those teams left off and make Wisconsin sports fans a little bit more happy as the Packers get ready for their playoff appearance next week. So the Packers get back to work today. Today is the first day of practice since the regular season ended, and attention is going to be on the injured players that are coming back. Of course, the Packers held out several injured players in the regular season finale, guys who had legitimate injury concerns like Greg Jennings, Brian Bulaga, Randall Cobb, you know, just recently having injuries and, you know, still working their way back, and some more for precautionary reasons like Charles Woodson and Clay Matthews. But all of these guys coming back, probably you're thinking today, at least head coach Mike McCarthy kind of gave that indication, kind of expressed some optimism that he would be getting most of his players back, except perhaps running back James Starks, who still might be out a little while yet. His status still kind of up in the air. Maybe he'll return next week, it's looking like, but based on the way Mike McCarthy is saying it, it would be a surprise if he shows up to practice today. So, Packers getting several injured players back. Don't know their opponent yet. They're kind of probably going to be one of those situations where they're almost cleaning up their own act, worrying about themselves this week, trying to improve that defense that gave up over 500 yards passing to Matt Stafford in Week 17 against the Lions, because they don't know their opponent yet. They know it'll be one of three teams. They know it'll be either the Falcons, the Giants, or the Lions. Again, you know, if I had to choose an opponent for the Packers, I suppose it would be the Lions. You know, based upon the Packers have dispatched them twice this season, they know them well. The Lions have a tough, difficult road. They have to travel to New Orleans this weekend, and that's not going to be easy, as everybody thinks New Orleans is one of the hottest teams in the NFL, and I agree, I think they are. But of course, it would say something about the Lions, though, that they're pretty good if they can go into New Orleans and win, right? So maybe that wouldn't be the ideal situation for the Packers. Regardless, all these teams have their own strength. We saw the Giants, you know, take Green Bay to the brink in their regular season meeting earlier this season. Packers facing the Falcons, too, and they provide their own set of difficulties. Regardless, I think the Packers can come away with the victory no matter who they play. They've beaten every single one of these teams this year, a combined four times when you include the twice the Packers beat the Lions. So they know how to do it, and you know, the Packers getting the home game as well, it's going to be a little bit easier in the friendly confines, if you will, of Lambeau Field than it would on the road at any of those teams. And you know, the Packers beat all those teams on the road this year. They beat Giants in New York, they beat the Falcons in Atlanta, and they beat the Lions in Detroit this year. So any of those they'll face, they'll get the additional advantage of playing in front of the home crowd at Lambeau Field as the playoffs begin this weekend with the wild card round in the NFL. 2 days of action the Packers are going to get see worth of 2 days worth of action the Packers will see in their potential opponents this weekend. So lots of football action going on, lots of bowl game action. I'm kind of a college football geek and like to see the guys who are going to be playing on Sundays in the pros, and a good chance to see him as the, it's bowl game week here. BCS week is, just on Monday, the Rose Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. Last night, the Sugar Bowl. Tonight, the Orange Bowl. Lots of action to be watching. Lots of good football. Wild card. It's the best time of football. January is the best month for football in terms of good football being played against good teams facing each other. Fantastic time of the year to be watching it. But thank you, everybody, so much for joining us this morning here on Railbird Central. Appreciate you tuning in and checking us out. We'll be back on the air on Friday. And make sure to tune in, same time, same place. And maybe Jamie Jors, can you clue us in? When is the next episode of Cheesehead Radio? And what's going on there? But regardless, make sure to come back to Cheesehead TV for our coverage all week long. And we'll be here keeping you updated on the status of the Green Bay Packers all the time. Thanks, everyone. If you want to listen to Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident here on Railbird Central on Cy Fidelity Records, we leave you with that song. See you, everyone. Go, Pack, go.